House Planning and Development Committee, April 3rd, 1969. Second hearing on Senate Bill 10.
Call the roll. Here.
Roger.
Here.
Willis.
Here. So we will do it at the last hearing. We'll divide the time equally between the opponent and the proponent of it. That means we'll spend 45 minutes first to hear the proponents. And I would like to call on Mr. Charles Peck.
Peck. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Charles Peck. I live at Route 2, 237 Styleworks. I'm appearing as a farmer who makes all his income from the land and also a member of the Kingston Irrigation Cooperative. My area was the first exclusive farm area and the only one to date in Lincoln County. This zone was instituted to protect two irrigation districts in this area financed entirely by farmers bringing water up 168-foot hill to pressurized lines to irrigate these fields. I'm urging the adoption of Senate Bill 10 for the reason that some very good land around this area is being held out of farm zones for speculation purposes by individuals who have bought good land with small down payments and hope to bail themselves out selling a few acres at a time at a high price. In my area, we have plenty of marginal land on which to build homes. Statewide zoning, early development could be accomplished without the sacrifice of this good farmland. I believe we have an obligation to generations of people that will not be accomplished by individual groups. We hear the surpluses that we have accumulated. I was born and lived in Kansas in the 30s of dust storms and saw surpluses evaporate in the course of a year. At that time, our hay came from Idaho and East Carolina. In our state, we're basically in the Willamette Valley. We have a climate and growing condition that matches very few places in the country. To preserve the livability and productivity, zoning is the only answer. Our processing industry is a very desired industry that can only be maintained with good land being protected by zoning. My wife and I have no children, but we have a responsibility to the future. The next 20 years to me, probably all the land I'll need will be about a 3 to 6. But to a 5-year-old child, it will mean what you have fresh air, unpolluted air, fresh water. Because of our short-sightedness and individual greed and lack of planning, it could be very chaotic. Taking good farmland out of production to make subdivisions isn't progress. Housing can go up if needed, but you cannot put a few on top of an orchard. It would be a sad day in the East reading the paper that the last two farms in Marion County have been sold, one for a steel mill and the other for a subdivision. There is development of housing.
Thank you, Mr. Heck. Questions from the members of the committee? Thank you very much, sir. Next, we hear from Patricia Kelch.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Patricia Kelch, and I am representing the Lower Dalton Valley chapter of the Homeowners Preservation League. Our organization is vitally concerned with problems of zoning, pollution, sanitation, and many other problems affecting the present and future development of our area. Of course, we realize these same problems are going to affect the future development of any area in the state. We realize the need for zoning to help in conditioning these problems for the future of the area. We realize that the lack of zoning can create an expand these problems to an extent where they become major sources of problems and difficulties in the livability of any area. We therefore, as an organization, support Senate Bill 10. We think it is a good bill, We think that it will help to provide answers and solutions to these problems through a long-range view of them. We therefore support the intent of the bill, which is to provide comprehensive land use planning and zoning. However, some of our members are concerned and have some doubts with regard to Section 1 of Senate Bill 10. There are some concerns from our organization, from many of the individual members, that Senate Bill 10 grants considerable authority to the governor of the state in the area of planning and zoning without specifying how the governor or his office shall proceed and how he shall administer such plans and zoning ordinances. Therefore, we would consequently like to see the governor's jurisdiction in this bill more clearly spelled out.
Thank you, Ms. Kill. Questions from the members of the committee? Thank you very much for taking your time to come down. Today we hear from Mr. McPherson.
Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Hector McPherson, chairman of the Lynn County Planning Commission and a farmer, and I appear today in support of Senate Bill 10. And when I say in support, I mean in support of the principle. I don't think that I'm a technician that would know how it should go into this particular legislature. But I have seen the need for something on the part of the legislature to give backbone and direction to the members of county government to get this job done. I can say unequivocally, I am not for the state of Oregon actually doing zoning. I think that it should be done at the local level. I think it can be done at the local level. And if Senate Bill 10 becomes law, I think it will be done at the local level. However, I also think that it won't be done at the local level without some impetus given by members of the legislature. Someone along the line is going to have to bite the dollar and say that zoning has to be done because there is a very vocal minority within the state of Oregon that feels this is not the direction to go. I would say that the majority of the ones that oppose this type of legislation are concerned about money values. I think those of us that are in favor of it are concerned about human values. And I think it's up to the legislature to make the choice between the two. I would further say that I think the people that are worried about money values may be worrying unnecessarily. I think in the long run, and on the average, I think that zoning, properly implemented, will increase the money values of real estate. And while there is some basic unfairness, and I would be the first to concede this, in saying that one man can do a certain thing with his property and another man cannot, I think it's the type of thing that we as a society as a whole must recognize. I wish there were some fairer way to do it. I could see that buying such things as buying development rights possibly to do the job more fairly. But I see no possibility that this type of approach can actually be implemented at the present time. So because for these reasons, that I think that the local people can and should do zoning, but they need the help that could possibly come from this bill, I urge that you adopt Senate Bill 10. And I would say just one further thing. I don't believe there's any bill to come before the legislature at this session that will do more in the long run for the state of Oregon. And at no financial cost, and that's my point. So many of these things that are desirable, but they have a price tag. This is something that we can do to help preserve the livability that will not have a direct price tag that money does not have to be budgeted for to implement. With that, I'll conclude my testimony.
Thank you, sir.
We've had some testimony that possibly December 31st, 1971 might be too early to bring the governor into the forced zoning. What is your opinion of the timing on this? Do you feel that December 31st, 1971 is a realistic date for counties to get into gear and get themselves zoned?
Well, I think if you put it any further date away, there will be more procrastination. Now, I think that it can be done by 1971, but somebody's going to have to get on the stick and do it. And if you provide longer time, you're going to find some people dragging their feet, just as in the segregation problem, that people drag their feet. Therefore, I would say that 71 is a reasonable time, and the legislation will be in session again before that time. If it's at that time that it is not, I would urge your action at that time, not at this time.
I was going to ask the same question.
Joe?
Hector, how far advanced is Wilson County in this, in the planning of zoning? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I can give you a report on that, but I don't think I want
that
done
on it. But I mean, well, just in percentage, you feel, you, well, let me put it this way. Do you feel that Linn County could meet this deadline?
I feel that Linn County could meet this deadline. We have the staff, we have some of the plans, we will have the plans. In fact, we would hope, provided the people of Linn County will come along, that we will have the job done before then. But I'm sure that we won't have the job entirely done because there is enough opposition in certain areas. But there are certain areas. Now, I should say, our county court has specified that they will not zone any area in which the people do not request it. After all, they have observed the fiasco that's happened in certain other counties. And so they are going along with this thing. But if you provide them with this tool, I think the people will be asking them for it over the entire county, and I think we can have the job done by that time.
Let me ask another question, Hector, and I think this bears an awful lot on this case. Do you find that the people in opposition to the zoning are the, what you would call the bona fide farmers, or is it the people who have moved out from the city areas who are working in town, are more or less part-time farmers and still working in town?
I find the group that are moving are a very mixed group. I find some genuine farmers, I find people really from all walks. The difficulty we have with the genuine farmer is that you strike a farmer and you find a subdivider. Unfortunately, we all look forward to the day when we will not be able to farm again. And if we don't have a son coming along in the business, we would like to sell to the rich and the banks. And the genuine farmers are thinking in their terms. And I can't say that I hold them for this. But it is a problem.
I have one question.
You too, Joe?
Yes.
George?
Mr. McPherson, excuse me just a minute. Can all of you hear the members of the committee when they're speaking? We don't have the microphones. Can you speak up, please, for the all of us?
You alluded to the fact that there, if we don't have this date as soon as possible, something there might be some problems. Would you expand that a little bit? Do you see people trying to get under the wire and some very bad development done just because they know this date is coming up?
I can't allude to any particular thing that I know will happen before 1971, but I have seen this principle in areas in which we've been trying to get zoning. For instance, around the new high school site at Albany, we posted a hearing to establish zoning immediately, and in fact, just 2 days before the call for the hearing, the individual had this particular property moved in there, got a building permit which could not be denied, and laid down foundations for duplexes which would not have been allowed under the zoning. And this is the type of thing that will happen. The longer you put it off, the more of these things will crop up, I'm sure.
One more, Mr. Chairman. Well, would you suggest any kind of a moratorium or in the meantime, then, of some kind, as this date commences? Have you worked with this or thought about it? Do you think it should be included?
I'm afraid I couldn't give you an intelligent answer to that one. I have given some thought, and I see some problems with declaring a moratorium. The thing is, zoning is not retroactive. We've always established zoning on the principle that what is here now we have to accept. And if you lay a moratorium down before you have your comprehensive land use plan developed, to say whether this should be, on what basis then are you going to deny the man his right to develop in the meantime? I really would question it, and yet I don't know that I have the answer.
Would you agree that maybe a moratorium is something that's desirable?
It would only take some problems that would otherwise come up, I'm sure.
Howard? Mr. McPherson, you mentioned that the planning should be on a local level. Just how would you define that? I know some folks like planning only on a city or town level, and if it applies to counties, why wouldn't that also apply to the state?
I prefer to keep government as close as you can to the people.
That would mean cities?
That would mean, in this case, counties, because the areas we're particularly concerned about are not within cities. I think that cities should zone themselves where they can and have, and most of them have. I think that counties can and should zone themselves, because they have the capabilities in most cases, and develop them if they do not. And only if they fail to act should the state step in. Now, does that answer your question?
Partially, does. Aren't many of the problems, however, that come up applicable only on the state level?
I think there should be cooperation, and I think such things as the Council of Governments, and we have a Lindenton Association of Governments, and this sort of thing, I think these things can be worked out. I would like to see the state get into something like in the planning business enough to give at least some direction to the county. I still would hesitate to give them the to let them move into this job as long as the counties are willing to exercise it. Because I think that you'll get more cooperation if you do it at the local level, where people feel that they are more closely involved than if you put it over to the higher level. But there also is terrific pressure against representatives of the local government, which there are times when certain things can't be done because the type of pressure that would be brought against local government will be so great that a desirable end will not be achieved, whereas the larger group, the state, could probably meet this particular challenge in a better way. So I'm a little on the fence. I can see certain things that could be done better by the state, and yet I hesitate to give them the responsibility until they prove that the county cannot do it.
Hector, Linn County's pretty well along with this zoning matter, but what about a county that hadn't even started on zoning? Could they meet this deadline?
Well, I don't think there's any county but what has at least a planning commission, so they all have some start. And hopefully they have looked at what is going on in the state and they have made some plans already. Now, whether they meet this or not remains to be seen. I'm not familiar with all counties in the state, and in eastern Oregon, perhaps hasn't always given us as much thought as we had in western Oregon, there might be some difficulty.
How long has Linn County been working on it?
We've had a planning commission for 6 years, and it took us about 5 years to get anything in the zoning line, because we thought that was the last of the steps in the planning steps and the most controversial one, so we tended to work on the other things first and take up zoning.
Further questions? No, thank you very much, Mr. McPherson.
Thank you.
Okay, may we hear from Rodney R. Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, committee, I am Rodney Stubbs. I reside at 419 Pine Street South, Salem, Oregon. I represent and I am chairman of the Environmental Planning Committee of the Oregon Environmental Council. I also am representing or have been requested to represent the Northwest Chapter of the American Institute of Planners. And I am in favor, and the organization I represent, the Environmental Council, is in favor of Senate Bill 10. Dave, undoubtedly you have heard several of the disadvantages and hardships created by zoning in various counties throughout Oregon. I would like to illustrate some successful examples of countywide zoning. I have a map. Of the program that was adopted in Marion County on the 1st of August, 1968. This program was developed as a result of 14 area advisory committees, probably one of the first of its type set up in the state. The 14 area advisory committees consisted of over 260 citizens from the agricultural areas of the county. It also involved people from the city so that the city zoning coordinated itself with the county zoning. Each of the areas explained what they wanted as far as zoning was concerned. For example, the green areas on this map represent agricultural zones. As a matter of fact, the zone down here is is ESU 20 zone, which stands for Exclusive Farm Use 20 Zone. It even goes so far to put a minimum limitation on acreage that can be sold at 20 acres. the success of this program, I believe, can be devoted to a program in this area down here. This was RA, a residential and agricultural business zone that permits subdividing and so forth. This area down here that is now colored green was at one time zoned residential and agriculture. However, 196 property owners in that area, all farmers, put together a petition and asked to be put in the farm zone. The reason, the basic reason, is they did not want the subdividing influences in that area. Just this week we had a petition for RA zoning out in the middle of the farm zone and some very prime agricultural land again. And here again the farmers had a chance to speak out that they did not care for subdivision activities in their community. The reasons that were brought up was people in this particular area farm grass seed and they have to burn their field and they have other problems related to agriculture. These problems of agriculture are not compatible with residential uses. The farmer gets up early in the morning and he expects to work early in the morning. Your urban dweller is getting up around 7, going to bed at 5, or going home at 5 and watching TV at 10, and he doesn't want to be bothered by agricultural activities such as tractors and things of this nature. Another problem we ran into was in the northern part of the county, a person requested a zone change from Farm 20 agricultural zone to RA residential and agriculture. Here again, the problem, this area is highly developed in the row crop farming, and the problems related here relate to the spraying of herbicides and things of this nature. If you have subdivisions mixed in with farmland, you cannot spray the crop because you run the chance of you're liable for suits as far as nuisances are concerned, especially if you kill off Mrs. Jones's petunia patch. These are the problems that we have run into, and in our program, we have tried to develop a zone the way that people want it in their area. You'll notice in the south part of the county, an area that is designated as not being zoned. The committee to date has not come up with a recommendation, although they are working on it, zone that area. I would be glad to answer any questions you have. I just wanted to show you this to show that the program does work. It can be done for the people, and it can be done by the people.
Thank you, Mr. Stubbs. Joe?
One of the criticisms we've heard is that farmers' land value will go down tremendously, impairing their ability for finances and this sort of thing. Have you had any experience or had any of these related to you in your experience in zoning in Marion County?
I know I have no facts either way to back up any comment I've made on that. I do know for a fact, though, that the prime agricultural land in the valley is becoming quite rare, and there is a move by California, the large California farmers into the valley, purchasing up large farms for the purpose of high production in your row crops. I think this is further evidenced by the recent sort of large canneries that have located in the Salem area just in the past 2 years.
Further questions? If you do.
Howard, yes. Mr. Stubbs, in all your discussion, have you come across the problem of the location and zoning of cemeteries? Have you discussed it at all? That could possibly be a more important problem in the future, certainly. Has it come up at all?
We have had one cemetery that tried to locate north of Salem, but the people in the area opposed it quite drastically and put in. Other cemeteries throughout the county are designated as a what we call a public use war zone, which permits that type of activity. I would imagine these could be expanded to accommodate.
The people there oppose it because it was a cemetery. What I'm bringing up is a matter of the utilization of space.
You mean the utilization of space?
Farming, good farming land, yes.
Well, actually, as was pointed out in the zone change itself, that there's no places in the Salem area that are already provided for cemeteries to handle quite a few of the deceased. Now, I don't know quite how to answer the question. There are other areas throughout the county that are not desirable for farming or can be used as cemeteries.
That is not a problem yet, anyway.
No.
You don't think it will be?
I don't see how it could be. We have, for example, large areas or pockets of what they call the Concord series of soils throughout the valley. These soils cannot be farmed. They're highly impervious to water. They probably make excellent burial sites.
Thank you.
Further question?
Yes, what is this RA and RAR? What are those?
The RA designation, as I mentioned before, is residential and agriculture. The residential portion permits subdividing down to 7,000 square feet per lot, providing we meet health department requirements. The RAR zone is a zone that's located in the Silver Creek Falls Canyon and to the foothills of the Cascades to the east. This is a residential, agricultural, and recreational zone that permits commercial recreation.
Well, in those areas now, in the build-up areas, and they're not in incorporated towns, do you have control over the sewage disposal and the drilling of wells and that sort of thing in the residences, by the residences?
No, this is strictly handled by the health department.
Well, do they have control?
Yes, they do. They have to pick up a septic tank permit, which is based on soil testing in the area.
And do they get a permit denied now and then because it might contaminate a well that is within...
There is an area to the south of Turner, for example, that has water. The water table is something like 6 inches. They issue one permit in the area. Inside 3 days, no septic tank still left. The moratorium established in that area.
In other words, there are not going to be any more houses built in that area.
Well, there can't be from a health standpoint.
Other questions? Tom?
Is part of that Polk County that you've shown on that map?
That is the part that's in the city of Salem. And the reason it's shown is because of the incorporated city of Salem in Polk County.
Do you have any correlation with the Polk County Zoning Committee so that they work in harmony with you? Or?
Yes, the Council of Governments covers the three-county area, Marion County, Polk County, and Amhill County, and provides planning services.
And this has worked out satisfactorily?
I noticed any problems.
As well as if it were one government.
I was troubled yesterday, Bob.
Who voted on that? Any other questions on Senate Bill 10? Thank you, I would like to move now to the opponents. We do have an hour, and I cannot tell from the sign up here, those of you who may be coming from the furthest distance. Is there anyone here from Clatsop County? Anyone here from Columbia County?
Here,
Clatsop County? All right, that's fine. I just want to make sure we only have an hour because the Education Committee is meeting here at 3, and I want to make sure those of you who travel a distance may speak. Anyone from Clatsop County that does wish to speak now? Columbia County? Anyone? Yes, sir. If you'd please give your name, who you represent, and where you're from for the record.
I'm Dick Magruder, Columbia County, live in Clatskanie, and I'm representing today the Columbia County Democratic Central Committee and myself. Mrs. Agnes Peterson, our vice chairman, was here for her last hearing and was unable to be here today along with several other residents of the county. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the zoning experiences we've had in Columbia County. In 1967, our county court passed a ordinance and immediately petitions and a referral was drawn up, and in a weekend 1,500 signatures were gathered, and in our vote we had 86% against zoning in a special election. Our vote went from a low of 68 in some of our precincts to those precincts bordering Multnomah and Clatsop counties. We had 100% vote against our zoning ordinance. So we found that in Columbia County, you might say between 70 and 90% of the people are opposed to zoning. We're a bit concerned if this bill is approved, whether we can adopt a sensible and acceptable zoning ordinance within the time limits of the bill. As I've listened to the hearings here, it seems that the most acceptable zoning programs are done on an area basis. They seem to take a great deal of time, and we question whether in our area we can comply with the time provisions of this bill. My group and many of these people feel that zoning should be left to the individual counties, individual areas. If Marion County chooses to be zoned, then I think this is fine. If Columbia County chooses not to be zoned, we think that this is appropriate too. And we are a peculiar area in many ways. About 90% or over 90% of our area is timberland. We have some limited agricultural activities. We're experiencing now a tremendous amount of industrial growth, and it's very difficult for most of us to really determine which land has industrial potential, which land should be retained for agricultural purposes. My family farms. We raise cattle and sheep on an extensive area in Clackamas Columbia County line, and we plan to stay in the farming business for a good number of years, but we're concerned that even if our land is zoned for agricultural purposes, period, that industry seems to always have enough muscle to change our zoning ordinances, and it seems that it would merely be an exercise in futility if a zoning ordinance were passed in our area and enacted. And above all, we're very concerned about the basically 2 years that we would have to adopt the zoning ordinance in our area, and the particularly the political problems and ramifications that some of our people might experience if they were forced to zone in such a short time.
Fine, thank you, Mr. Magruder. Questions from the committee?
Thank you.
I have one.
Yes, sir, Joe.
Mr. Magruder, did you have a code that was adopted along with your zoning, or was it, do you have a building code in your county now?
Yes, we do. So it must not have been included in that zoning yet.
Does it include the all of the county, or is it just...
Yes, it includes all the county.
When was this adopted? When did you put the code adopted?
I'm not sure to tell you the truth. I think it was prior to the zoning situation.
You made one statement that you wanted to keep on farming in this area. Well, are you situated that a development could come in that would make it hard for you to keep on farming?
Well, that's certainly possible. But as I say, I personally don't feel I have the foresight and anyone in our area to determine the best land use for the areas lying along the rivers, along the Columbia River, whether it be industrial or agricultural or what. We're talking about a very small agricultural area in relation to the state.
Is that all, Jim? Other questions?
You don't. You say you limit where where industry can go. You wouldn't mind having industry right alongside you or outside your farm, or
that is presently the situation, basically right now.
This doesn't bother you.
Not particularly, no.
Other questions? Thank you, Mr. McGrew.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else from Columbia County? Yes, sir.
Pardon me, I'm from
what?
I'm from
Lake
County. I spoke out of turn. What I wanted to say was I was here last time and I signed up to speak and I didn't get to what I'd like to meet included before the meeting.
Okay, well, certainly try, sir. It just depends on how many, how long each person. Is there anyone else from Columbia County, Washington County, Multnomah County? Multnomah County? Yes.
Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Mark McDonald. I'm an attorney and represent the Trailer Coach Association.
The what?
Trailer Coach Association. The amendment, which I respectfully submit to you, deals with the placing of mobile homes on land that would be subject to a comprehensive land use plan or zoning ordinance prescribed in this bill.
Mr. McDonald, could you speak up a little bit louder into the mic, please?
This amendment is really a statement of policy that the legislature favors the placing of mobile homes on private property in these areas, which will most likely be rural and low-density areas. Note that the amendment contains provisions that the mobile home must still comply with all state regulations as to the plumbing and electrical equipment, and in addition, the exterior sanitary installation, water supply, and electrical installation must meet all appropriate regulations by the proper agency. Compliance with such will ensure protection to the safety and health of the people of Oregon, and at the same time provide adequate land use for low-cost housing. We propose this amendment as our experience shows that classic zoners or planners usually think of a mobile home in terms of a World War II container camp that contained units which were definitely inimical to the health and safety of the residents, and which were occupied by transit. We would like the Oregon legislature to take a more realistic look at the industry which produced 75% of all low-cost housing and which has enjoyed phenomenal growth in our state. In light of this, we should also bear in mind Secretary Rockland's recent speech that called attention to the serious problem of the shortage of housing units and that drastic changes in the production methods of housing must be made to meet the present and future needs. To aid your study of this matter, I have handed to each of you a copy of the most recent issue of Reader's Digest, which contains a short 5-page article on the mobile home industry. These are not statistics prepared by me, but rather are from an independent study of the mobile home industry, illustrating its role as the major supplier of low-cost housing.
Thank you very much. Questions? Irving?
You represent the mobile park people, and I...
We do have mobile park developers in our association.
What is your association?
It is the Trailer Coach Association that brought...
And essentially, you would like to see mobile homes in mobile parks that are built and created for that purpose. Is that? I mean, that would be the thrust of these amendments, would it not?
Not necessarily, Representative. The thrust of these amendments would be to assure adequate land use within these areas for the placement of a mobile home on private property.
But it would be much easier with these amendments to comply with these amendments for a mobile home just to go to an existing mobile park and establish itself there, wouldn't it?
I'm sorry, but I'm not following what I'm saying, Mr.
Well, the mobile parks do comply with these standards that you attempt to describe in these amendments, and so to be an incentive for a mobile home office. Homeowner to settle in a park, in a mobile park, would it not?
Well, also, a mobile home would have to have to. The thrust of the amendment, you might say, that we're finding just a critical need for adequate land use for these units. And we want to see a policy that, because of our experience with planning commissions and
What building regulations are you trying to negate in Senate Bill 10 by your proposed amendment?
The building regulations we're trying to negate would possibly be, of course, there would be, we're assuming now that where this, we would seek to place this, that there would be local or county building regulations, and possibly the only one would be the requirement of a 2x4 stud. 1687, which...
No, but my question is, what building regulations are you trying to meet in Senate Bill 10? Because as I read Senate Bill 10, there's no building regulations in it. All it does is take the regulations that's in the county that the county has already adopted. As I read your proposed amendment, you would be negating this regulation because there's none in Senate Bill 10.
So we do have to comply with the applicable building regulations in the county. Doesn't Senate Bill 10 still read that the governor cannot require or prescribe building regulations?
See, the governor may, however, enjoin the construction of buildings to perform as many other acts which would constitute a land use that does not conform to the conflictable land use plan or zoning ordinance. But it's nothing about buildings. He doesn't have the power to adopt building regulations.
I think the standard we would meet are the standards that are proposed that are presently as to the 446 of the plumbing, electrical, and heating equipment, which is prescribed by the state and regulated by the state fire marshal and the Bureau of Labor and the health department, and that we would do any other ones that this regulation, in other words, must be based on nationally consistent standards, and we feel that we would have to comply with, by compliance with 1687, and we would comply with the necessary building regulations.
Is that all, Joe?
I just want to point out to him on sub-3 of section 2, it just plainly states the comprehensive land use plan or zoning ordinance prescribed and amended by the governor pursuant to section 1 of the act may be for any purpose provided in chapter 215, except that the governor may not prescribe building regulations. And I was just trying to find out what regulations he was trying to avoid.
I wouldn't know that there would be any to avoid, in that, one, we know that even a mobile home in this state, we have to comply with certain standards, and two, at the last three lines of the amendment, we have to meet it should be maybe changed to present, exterior sanitary installations, water supply, and electrical installations, shall meet of all the appropriate state authorities. Now, if that's impractical, we'd be glad to change it and to the county if such were existent at that time.
Well, Joe?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think what Joe is asking, why the proposed amendment? Maybe I'm not quite sure on it either. Does this amendment allow you, in your thinking, to place mobile home parks any place throughout the state?
No, I misinterpreted this, but I'm really not dealing with mobile home parks. Any mobile home park development has to go through the Norfolk County Planning Board. I'm talking about land that would be subject to a plan developed under this bill. And that it would be a statement of policy as a more or less guideline that there is a definite need for low-cost housing. The legislature favors.
Well, we wouldn't have to say mobile home, then. We could just say we desire low-cost housing in the state of Oregon, and then such and such and such. We wouldn't even have to relate to mobile home, would we, really?
No, we really wouldn't.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Are you in favor of Bill 10?
From a personal standpoint, I might be in favor of it, because my dealings indicate that you need this comprehensive planning.
Other questions?
It doesn't seem that we need this amendment. It's already taken care of.
Excuse me, Howard. We'll take this up in a work session. We do have some people that I'd like to hear, unless there's some pertinent question about something else. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else from Multnomah County? Lane County. Yes, sir.
My name is Bert Siegel. I live at Pleasantdale, Lane County. I'm not here representing any specific organization. I do belong to organizations that are bitterly opposed to this. In order to save time, I hastily scribbled down the thoughts I wanted to bring up to save time. The consequences of this bill are much too important to the future of our children and the continued healthy growth of Oregon to go unchallenged. The people who have pioneered, worked, developed the state have come a long way in the last 25 years. Private initiative, private enterprise, and local option control are all that are needed for continued development. Few mistakes are much to be preferred over the commune system of government and the gradual decay of our society by bureaucracy. When bureaucracy rules, they have no concern for the individual, his accomplishments, or his security. They are more concerned with their jobs, enlarging their kingdom, and making themselves necessary by creating chaos and problems that don't exist. Zoning only protects the ones that have already built or developed. They want to be protected at the expense of the people who are trying to still establish themselves. The taxes of the people with undeveloped land are raised for the benefit of the ones who have already developed. Yet, they would be denied the best use of their land. Local zoning reduces the value of undeveloped land by at least 40%. Under this bill, values could be decreased on some land as much as 75%. Most valley land is too spotted for this type of zoning. On a 100-acre tract, for instance, there might be 10, 15 acres of it that are absolutely unfit for farming. It is only good for residential use or industry. If all industry was restricted to one zone, as they are trying to get now, think what the traffic congestion would be. It is human nature for people who have got in on the ground floor, so to speak, to try to stop the other person from having the same rights they enjoy. The bulk of our problems are pure propaganda by selfish people. One example is when a city wants to annex, they'll go out and take some pictures of this territory in a bad spot, maybe a bad road, and then blow it up to high heaven. And get the people very concerned about it and go back on their back streets or their alleys and find lots worse conditions all over that town. 24 years ago, this same thing was brought up called planned economy. Similar, same people. They said that if they didn't get planned economy, that within 20 years there'd be millions of people starved to death in the United States. I don't have to go into that. You know what's happened by the private initiative. Now there's 10 by 1980, we'll be starving to death for the lack of farmland, pure propaganda and hogwash. In Lane County, the so-called professional planner and bureaucrat created unnecessary and stupid restrictions that cause our best farmland to be used for houses and dwellings. They put restrictions on roads and private driveways and so on, that instead of a man being able to he could go out here and pay $75,000 to $100,000 to build a little private road to his place. So he goes down and he buys a choice land, a walnut orchard or something like that. He builds a house because he can buy it for a few $1,000s and be done with it. And this is our condition down there. And it is created by the bureaucrat and the professional planner. I am concerned about this bill mainly, but on the count as the class of people who will be running it. Did you ever try and work with a fellow that his only experience is only a qualification is coming out of some planning school with no experience? Or did you ever try and work with a man, the bureaucrat, whose only qualification is that he failed in everything in life that he ever attempted to do and was available for the job? An awful proportion of them will come in that category, and that is why I am scared to death of this bill. I think that if this bill passes, it has as far as voting is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Biggles. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much, sir. Yes, sir.
We have a gentleman here who'd like to speak. He's going to have to leave right away. Is there any possibility of squeezing him in? If you'd like to hear what he has to say.
What area are you from, sir? Staten. Okay, I think we will have time for that. We still have 35 minutes. I would like to get these that have come a greater distance. Anyone else?
He asked you driving school bus. The only reason I believe it's 2:30, but whatever.
Sure, that's fine. Thank you. Please come forward then.
Joe Spinner from State and Oregon. It won't take much time. Own 24 acres. Small. Just enough to. A person could make a living if the economics were different. Well, I work as a janitor to support the farm like some farmers are doing. That's one of the big problems. And now, this here does also bring up a problem that most farmers, even with 100 and 300 acres, are running into. If you check over the tax rolls, their taxes are skyrocketing. They can't make a living. I have a nephew who was told by the Production Credit Association they can't get a loan anymore because he just isn't big enough. And he owns a good fertile river land, raises a good crop of beans, corn, as good a farmer as you want. Now we have zoning coming in. He's going to have a problem here. Has this land, he can no longer make a living on it farming. Now, what is he going to do if he's tied down by a 20-year restriction on selling his property? If it comes to that, and it will eventually come to that, unless something is done to change the system of our economics to benefit the farmer. We hear about predictions that people are starving to death for lack of food. Now, this man is a good farmer. And many of the farmers in our area are, but the economics and the tax situation are against them. Actually, the tax situation, if you go out and talk to the farmers, honestly, I'll tell you the truth, a lot of farmers aren't here to talk now because they're darn mad that they just don't trust themselves to come out here and talk to you. Now, I wish you people would go out and talk to these people in the field and in the woods where they're working. You hear surreal four-letter words of what they think about this situation. A lot of them will agree that we need some type of zoning. But they say, why turn it over to the governor, like Section 6 here? And another thing, they say they read these laws, they try to read them. But from one year to another, the laws change. Now, in 1965, we had quite a wrangle up there about a park and recreation district going in along Mill Creek because of a wording that in the law at that time would give compensation rights and automatic taxation rights to the committee that was appointed. Here's nothing appointed. Everybody seems to be appointed. They appoint our leaders to comment and to go along with zoning. They don't let us elect. They don't let us vote on when they take away our rights. Now why is that? If you people have confidence in these zoning plans, why don't you let us vote on? We go with many of you people into office. We trusted you. Don't you trust our judgment voting on plans and dealing with our rights? What happens to our deeds under zoning? We have to have a look into these things. We do realize from the progress our communities are making that some provision has to be made. But why not come out and trust us people more? These things are all handed down to us, cut and dried. They don't come out and ask us, how are we going to do this? Then the people actually get frustrated.
that's 196 people who signed that petition that Mr. Stubbs mentioned there. We could have gotten many more than that. We thought that was enough to solve our purpose. But now if you look again at the FU20, you see that there isn't very much guarantee about farming and agriculture in there, but you will see about golf courses, parks, recreation areas, schools, churches, and community centers. Now, is that excluded? What's excluded? Is farming the only thing that's excluded? Why not have a little exclusion on some of these high taxes? And I'm sure that you'd get a lot of support there. And if you listen real close, you'll hear a Recall McCall movement starting. Now, I don't just go too much for that, because when you start to upsetting the leaders of your government, you're into a lot of trouble. But it's the nature of things that come down. And mostly it's through these appointed people. I believe that if you do stall this out a few years longer and let the people really study it and see what they're up against, you'll really have solid support. Because the people aren't unreasonable. The 1.5% tax limitation went down because the people looked it in the eye and they thought they didn't want to cut off all the funds blank that way. But when these people see that they're being taxed in bankruptcy, they're going to blow up. It happened in Cuba. And we're not immune to many of those things, because when people get that way, they just naturally go along with radicals. Unless you can give them some help and guidance in working these situations out. They have children in their families, and they're willing to provide for them. If you give them the facts and the confidence, I'm sure they'll work things out with your help. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much, sir.
I welcome any questions.
That's all right. Fine. Thank you. Anything else from Lane County here? Clackamas County, please. Anyone from Clackamas County like to speak to us? Yes, sir. If you'd like to come, sir. And then we'll have time for the lady also.
Chairman, members of the committee. Senate Bill 10.
Excuse me, if you'll give your name and address.
Excuse me, sir. I'm Elton Austin. I reside at Route 2 Moloch. Senate Bill 10 has had the teamwork of quite a team here. It's been promoted by Isadora, Herb Fields, a number of the other planners, and they went to the people, to a certain section of the people. They went to city clubs, chamber of commerces, and League of Women Voters, but they failed to go out to the grassroots people themselves with this bill. The Income Committee, which Representative Rogers is a member, met in various places. I met with them down here at Salem one time. I became aware of their meeting, and I invited them to meet out with us in Clackamas County. I said I would arrange the meeting, and they could talk to the people that have to live under the laws and rules and regulations which are imposed upon them. But they declined to come. I'd feel better if you come out and face this and let us hear a voice in the decisions and the things that would happen to us. Now, we're conscientious people. We don't want our country destroyed. I've lived at Mulala, and my family has for over 100 years. And this is Life magazine. This is last year's issue of it. And I think many of you have seen it, the blighted areas, the industrial east, or that the streams have been practically ruined. In fact, ruined by pollution. Well, if we study this thing, we find that we have rules and controls of the upper stream areas, the streams that they were used for drinking water for over a century, and a half, in fact. But they want to use the lower streams and two of the Great Lakes to carry away their industrial waste from the cities and from industries. And the end result is this. I would also call your attention to a magazine of this past year, National Geographic. I'd like to read you one paragraph out of here. It's the story of the incredible salmon. Last summer, I went on a small boat trip down the Willamette River from Portland to Oregon City, Oregon. The water was a thin soup of suspended wood fibers. Ugly pieces of sludge floated on the surface and gushes of purple, bright pink, and regional waste poured from paper mills on the banks. Gentlemen, we've had zoning in Clackamas County here for several years. And our planning director for Clackamas County came up with these water pollution plans for the county. They have quite an extensive plan for the Sandy, the Clackamas, the Lowell Rivers. But they make one little creek. It's called the Willamette River, or the Willamette Cesspool. The Willamette River goes through Clackamas County whatsoever. Instead of a plan that would regulate, police, and control the rural areas, with a zoning commission made up of people who do not reside in areas that would be zoned, they reside in municipalities where they have their own zoning, tyranny steps in. Let's get into Senate Bill 10 itself. On page 3, line 7, preserve the quality of air. This is aimed at the rural areas and rural people. It's not aimed at the cities, it's not aimed at industries, in the cities. Well, mainly they're after the field burners. What happens? A man burns a field, and the oxygen is changed into carbon dioxide. The farmers also have trees and bushes, and it is again the trees and the plants exchange back into oxygen. It's an ever-ending cycle. But the carbon monoxide that comes from the automobiles and from the industry is a continuing thing that's in the atmosphere and is building up each year. It's not the farmers that's polluting the air. It's not the rural areas. It's cities and industries. There's not a thing in this bill here. They'll correct the situation at all. The water resources of the state, again, I tell you, is not the rural areas. The upper stream pools of the Clackamas, the Molalla, the Sandy, the Sandy Am are reasonably free of waste as of this time, and I want them to continue that way. But what is needed is an overall pollution control that would bring controls where controls are needed. The Extension Service in Clackamas County had a Natural Resources Committee to study this situation. They came up with a water and river conditions and water program for the county and for the state. And I'd like to read this to you. At this time, most of our upper drainages are reasonably free of human and industrial pollution. This is basically true of such streams as our county, as the Molalla, Sandy, Clackamas, and their tributaries. Stream beds of these waterways are heavily glutted with sand and gravel deposits. These deposits create natural dams, causing the streams to wash the river banks, and in many instances, actually force the streams to cut new channels. And I personally can show you where the Molalla River has changed channels down through the decades between my home and Route 2 Molalla and Molalla, probably in a dozen places there of what I know as the old prairie, or prairie, as it was called in pioneer times. They are the main contributing factor to the so-called floodplains. We call for a survey of all our streams, then a wide controlled use be established for these deposits. And who's against that? The existing crushing plants who have forced the prices up on coal products and sand products a few years ago from 35 cents up to $1.90 for the very cheapest at this time. With these goals in mind, to control and direct the flow of water, control washing of the banks, and keep the streams on a natural channel. When this is accomplished, 90% of the so-called floodplains will cease to be. Some competition travel industry would be a healthy situation. The lower drainages, particularly the lower Willamette and the Columbia River systems, have been used as a septic tank and industrial sump hole for well in the second century, and still are, gentlemen, because I stood in Judge Wing Bradshaw's office less than 6 weeks ago, and the judge and I looked out back window, and here one was sludge floating down on top of the river from the paper mill, no doubt where that comes from, and we both commented about it, and we know that to be true.
Excuse me, Mr. Austin, the subjects you're talking about are covered in other bills that are presently in natural resources having to do with air and water pollution in this state. If you would speak to Senate Bill 10, we'd appreciate it.
This is in Senate Bill 10, restore the quality of air and water resources in the state. This bill will not get, and where the pollution is, does not cover it whatsoever. The pollution is not from the rural area. From the area that this bill would cover it, is from cities and industries who would have no basic control on it whatsoever.
Yes, the point is that the pollution that you're calling for to be controlled is covered in bills in this session, and those bills are not before us.
I see. Well, I'd like to have you gentlemen read this report, if you would, on your own, then. We've thrown off the yoke of zoning in our county and the rural areas because people served on the Planning Commission that should not have been there. There were cities, and there's good people in the cities, but there'd be no mistake about it. But these cities have problems of their own, particularly Lake Oswego, Milwaukee, school problems in their schools, problems with their own zoning. We find it too awful. These people that got on it had other access to go. And I could go into that. You took the wind out of my sails there.
Chairman,
I'm looking at...
Yes, excuse me, just a moment. Yes.
I do appreciate Mr. Ross's comments, because I think... deal with the general subject, but we do have a lot of people that have traveled some distance. I wonder if I see around a bit, Mr. Austin. We're going to hold another hearing. I wonder if it would be possible that
if you will hear me in depth, I'd be glad to.
Time, because we do have other people.
Yes, I've been up here. This is my time in regard to this bill, and I realize that this is going to take some hours. Time of your time, but it also might be a lifetime of me, a living under something that I don't want. I'll be glad to. In fact,
I'd be happy to provide you with the bills that cover the subject that you are speaking directly to also, but we will plan on hearing you next Tuesday night if it's convenient for you.
Tuesday night?
Yes, 7:30 in this room. And we'll not be in conflict with another meeting, so we should be able to go 10 o'clock if necessary.
All right.
But we would appreciate... keeping the remarks.
I'm doing quite a bit here, and I want you to hear.
Fine. Thank you very much, sir.
My kids are going to be going under this, and I certainly want to keep my controls of my government right close to home.
Thank you very much, Mr. Austin. Could we hear from the other from the lady from Clackamas County, please?
I'm Roberta Mabin, Route 1, Box
82, Moline,
Oregon. M-A-B-E-N. I'm chairman of an organization called ZAMO. It stands for Zoning Assessment Modification Organization. However, I feel that what I am saying represents many people. Sometimes we feel that because we're an organization, it doesn't mean so much as a private citizen. The reason that our organization, started was because zoning was imposed on us in rural areas of Clackamas County. The first meeting that we called, because we were upset about this, brought 2,000 people out. So we called the 2,000 farmers were upset if they would come out to the meeting. I am a little bit in awe of the power that you people have here today, or the power that you do have. But I am dismayed at the power that you are giving to that has already been given to the county court, and that you are going to give to the governor if Senate 10 passes. I believe that not all officials are bad officials, not all officials are good officials. We can't always say that in the white hats are all good people. The power was given to our Clackamas County Commission to zone, and so we already do know what rural zoning is. It's been said here that building codes do not have anything to do with zones. We found that it said building codes are the way that the zoning is controlled. They can zone property, but then they have to have building codes to control what goes on that property. And so they really are tied very closely together. We found it in Clackamas County that we could hardly drive a nail or put up a board unless we went down to the county court and asked. Farmers just do not exactly like to do this because they feel that they should have some say on their own property. In all due respect to you, we do question the validity of any law that could control our property without consent of the property owner. There can be no words for such a law, except that it is a little bit of dictatorship. The most precious thing the people of this nation have is freedom of choice. Although it is an intangible thing, we feel that this is the first right of every American, and is more precious than life. We have ways fighting in other nations to give this freedom to other countries, and yet here, gradually, bit by bit, we are trying to take it away. I feel that Senate can, by controlling the land used without the consent of the owners, is taking this freedom of choice away. We feel that the proper function of government in a free society does not include the power to order citizens how to live their lives. Our government was not designed to administer the affairs of men. It was devised to administer justice among men who would administer their own affairs. This is what Senate Camp is trying to take away. It stands as a closed fist and owes the man owning the property the taxes that makes up this great country of ours that we call a democratic country. By controlling the land, use of the land, you are manipulating prices. Perhaps you don't really feel that it would. In Clackamas County, with a zoned land that can only be used for one purpose, that land either decreased in value or if the value of that land was raised. I believe that the only amendment that would be important to a bill such as this would be a vote of the people. I do not believe that you should have any such bill passed that would take the control of the people away from them and say that you are going to control their land. I believe that a vote of the people is very necessary. Not a vote of the county agents, not a vote of the county commissioners or planning directors, but a vote of the taxpayers. I think this is probably the only amendment that could possibly be thought of even. Not a time limit or anything else. I wish that you gentlemen had the time to study what has happened. Our organization has 10 counties with us now since we started our organization. And all of them are from counties that are unhappy with the zoning. They already have zoning. These people are all unhappy about it. We have some from Marion County, with planning directors, if they are happy. We have some from, some of the testimony the other day from other counties where they say the people are real happy. But they're not, because they feel that this bill will be able to control their land, and this is the main thing that they are thinking of.
Thank you very much, Ms. May. Questions from the committee?
Live in a rural area, Ms. Mayor?
Yes, I do.
Other questions? Thank you very much for coming down. Could we hear from the gentleman from Luke County who was here last Thursday and didn't have a chance to testify?
I'm Nate Scherer of Route 1 Tangent, and I live 12 miles south of Albany and 10 miles east of Corvallis. I'm a fourth generation farmer in that area, and we still own the old homestead, 320 acres plus other land we've accumulated. And I think I represent the farmer's side. I'm vice president of the Cincinnati Farm Bureau. At the present time, I'm acting president owing to the illness of our president. And I think the USDA has got off on a lot of things, contradict themselves. Now, in one step, they tell us that we must have zoning because it is invading the prime agricultural land of Oregon. Then in the next breath, they tell us that there is overproduction. And this is true. I can remember back when I was a boy, Herbert Hoover had the old farm board. It studied the overproduction. And we've had every administration since then has worked. And I know Harry Truman is probably the only practical man in recent years that has occupied the presidency. And once he was meeting with a delegation from Congress, and he said he didn't know what to do about it, but we'd have to keep working at it. And right now, the National Congress, National Administration, is considering a land retirement plan of around 10 million acres because there's an overproduction. It's going to cost us a lot for federal income tax. And also, due to better farming methods, some authorities on the subject think that 1 acre will produce as much in 20 years. 1 acre will produce as much as 10 acres will now. And I don't think there's any shortage of food. And if we go ahead and zone this area, take Senate Bill 10, in a couple of years or so, a lot of the land will be tied up in strictly agricultural use. And with the farm problem being what it is, and the young men aren't going into farming, it's putting a hardship on us. And I'd like to comment a little bit on Linn County, because I'm a native of Linn County, and two of the planning commissioners were here today, and I follow this thing pretty closely. We've had two hearings in front of the county court, and both times there are a lot of people that I think have quite a lot of know-how that aren't enthused about this thing. And the largest farmer, I believe, in Linn County, comes around 7,000 or 8,000 acres. He thought we ought to proceed very slowly with this, because in light of the farm problem, we may have to shift to something else. And if we zone, it's difficult to get a zoning change. And I think SB 10 is just plainly rushing this thing too fast. Now, if zoning is a good thing, we'll accept it. Farming has gone from horse farming to tractor farming, and that it took a while to accept it. But I don't know if the owners have a good bill of goods, and they pushed it pretty ruthlessly at us. And I believe it would be good policy on the part of the legislature to not push this thing to pass. It's going to get a lot of people into trouble already. Some of our county officials in Linn County, I doubt that they can get reelected because they've got their foot in this powder keg. All I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Questions from the committee? Not, thank you very much for coming. Sorry you had to finish. We do have about 7 minutes. Is there some other person? Yes, ma'am.
I'm a steel boss in Oregon. And I speak for myself today. Mr. Chairman and Committeeman, I oppose any type of zoning. I oppose Senate Bill 10. I do not believe zoning is the answer to our problem. As stated in the Wall Street Journal of August 15, 1966, zoning has been an inadequate tool. Zoning is the answer. May I ask why then have some counties repealed zoning and others in the process of trying to get it repealed? I believe Senate Bill 10 will just force zoning back upon the people of counties which have repealed zoning against their wishes again. But for counties that do not now have zoning, enact zoning against their voters' wishes.
within the next 2 years, the state will, provided this bill passes. Zoning is a duplication of laws we already have on the books. And I refer to page 3 of Senate Bill 10, lines 7 through 18. To take care of these items, we have our following governmental bodies, such as air and pollution laws, park and recreation departments, Bureau of Land Management, state and U.S. Forest Service departments, Corps of Army Engineers, the Highway Department, and the Public Utilities. It appears to me that some of the laws and departments I have mentioned are not doing the job satisfactorily. If this is the case, I suggest instead of forcing Senate Bill 10 on American citizens, maybe you gentlemen should be looking into the revisions of these laws and departments to make them operate more fairly and efficiently. It is my opinion the $100,000 that is asked to be appropriated for the enactment of Senate Bill 10 could be used to better advantage in studying and revising the laws and departments I have mentioned. I believe zoning to be unconstitutional as it discriminates between the rich and the poor, the mobile home owner and the house owner, the small businessman and the large corporation, small farmer and corporation farmer. Poor are entitled to own what they can afford. A letter to the editor, which appeared in our daily paper, written by Mr. Hardesty, asked, and now I ask you gentlemen the same question. If rooms and a bath in a high-rise apartment serves as sufficient accommodation and is accepted as legal residence by a couple, why does zoning law compel them to build a much larger house on their own property, or if it is perfectly legal for a couple to live in an 8x35 mobile home in a mobile home park, why is it made a crime for them to move the same trailer to a lot of their own and enjoy more privacy and the chance to enjoy life? Zoning restrictions that place home ownership beyond one's ability to pay restrict a living, a far more precious asset than property value. In most county zoning ordinance, most of homes and apartment houses are separate commercial zones. This is not right, as the occupants of these homes are human too, and are entitled to live on a quiet, nice, quiet residential street, same as a house owner. They should not be required to be in a commercial zone any more than a rental house. Also, I cannot see zoning laws that require a farmer to hold his land strictly for farming unless there is price control on all land. Common sense tells us that if a farmer wishes to sell, he is not going to get any more for the sale of his land than its value in yield production, while a person who owns hilly and brush land will be able to get all the money traffic will bear for home sites, commercial and industrial. This would not be the farm. I understand zoning is not saving the farmland in our metropolitan areas like Portland, D.C., near Salem. Under zoning in these areas, farmland is still being grabbed up for other purposes. If zoning laws be interpreted as merely a permit system placed upon private property owners by legislative action and to be juggled thereafter according to official decrees, then property owners are better off without zoning.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bosch.
Are better off without zoning. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bosch. Any questions from the committee?
This might add that $100,000 is not in Senate Bill 10. This is in another
bill. Senate Bill 11.
Yes, it's not in Senate Bill 10.
It has to do with that building, because that's what they need to operate.
It doesn't have to. It can stand alone. It is for a soil classification study.
Other questions, committee? Not thank you very much, Ms. Bosch, for appearing. I will conclude the hearing on Senate Bill 10. We will continue this hearing.